You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The French, for instance, love the cock.
You're tuned into The Wire.
This year marks the 850th anniversary of the Anglo-Norman invasion of Ireland led by Henry II of England. On May 1st, 1169, Norman troops landed at Banno Bay at County Wexford to help reinstate a deposed Irish king, and it began England's rule in Ireland. Former BFM News team Connor now knows a bit more than me on this subject, and I had a chat with him about this yesterday.
A lot of our knowledge of the out of Ireland are mostly focused on the Easter Uprising, the Troubles, and today with the European Union and the Irish border. But it has a much more deeper history when we're talking about colonization and its relation with the United Kingdom.
Yeah, this year, or this month, this year, is kind of marks 850 years since the Normans. This month marks 850 years since the main events of the Norman invasions of Ireland. And in saying that, we could say that this is 850 years since the beginning of British rule on the island of Ireland and the beginning of what would go on to be the British Empire. This was the very, very first act of colonisation by a power that was based on the island of Great Britain. And what one could argue is what started the modern era of European colonisation, where the dividing line is between the Roman Empire falling and this new era of conquests, which was for land and resources in foreign territory. The main event that this is the anniversary of is 850 years since the Anglo-Norman knight Richard de Clare, Earl of Pembroke, also known as Strongbow, landed in Ireland. But it's also the 851st anniversary of the first ship arriving in Wexford and besieging the city of Wexford for 2 days. But Strongbow was the main event. If I give a bit of background as to kind of how this happened, just very quickly, as to why the British or why the Normans, the Anglo-Normans, were even interested in the island of Ireland in the first place, it was because they were invited there. There was a king in Ireland, a native king, called Dermot McMurrogh, who in his English name is Dermot McMurrogh. He was one of many kings in Ireland. There was a high king, but it was mostly clans fighting for territory. He was very ambitious. He was very ruthless. He was kind of feared rather than admired. He was used to apparently ritually blind and castrate his enemies to prevent them from reproducing. And the tipping point with his rivals was when he kidnapped rival chief's wife for himself. They united to try and depose him. So what did he do? He went into exile and sought help from King Henry II of the Norman Empire, who was also King Henry II of England. And happened to command the most powerful military force in the Western world at the time, who just fought in the Crusades. So the idea was that King Henry would give Dermot an army so that he would maintain his kingdom, and in return King Henry would get a whole load of land and a whole load of resources, and they'd impose feudalism and it would become part of their empire. At the same time, the Vatican was encouraging this to try and bring the Irish Church more in line with the Vatican reforms at the time, to keep it sort of more under the wing of the Pope, because he was kind of worried that, like, the Irish Church was too full of Irish tradition and mysticism and superstition, and that it was kind of, there was rumours going about that the Irish Church was kind of engaging in sort of paganistic stuff there, so they went to kind of stamp that out. Since 850 years ago, the Normans invaded Ireland, basically sacked the place. The Normans had chainmail, they had swords, they were incredibly organised. The Irish went naked into battle with throwing rocks, using pikes. The Normans apparently used to break soldiers' legs before throwing them into the sea. And kind of the main message of the campaign was the message that the Brits would kind of send throughout the world for hundreds of years after, which was surrender or face annihilation. And the Irish did surrender. These lords who the English sent first kind of acted, they were like robber barons. They just went in and took tribal land and just established themselves and built a castle and took the food and took the resources and subjugate the people, and that was that. And Henry feared that he was gonna, these people were gonna set up their own kingdom to rival him. So Henry came in the second invasion a few years later and established himself officially, ordered all the chiefs to pay tithes to him and surrender to him, and thus Ireland started on a journey of 850 years of British rule in one form or another that is still continuing to this day. And it's really the epicentre, the birthplace of where not only British colonisation but European colonisation started.
There's still quite a long time between the two periods. We have so many kings, so many events happened in the United Kingdom, like Oliver Cromwell and James the First. So how did that happen in Ireland?
Well, what changed it? And this is kind of where the British really, the Norman part is where the British really learned about how to run a colony, because a lot of the cities in Ireland when King Henry II came in were flooded with English settlers. They were, you know, Norman, Anglo-Norman settlers who spoke English or they spoke French, and they were aligned with the Vatican sort of pretty much to the letter. And what happened over time was that these people intermingled with the local people. They started speaking Irish. They were resistant to the Protestant reforms that came in under Henry VIII about 500 years later. And they essentially, I think the famous phrase is, they became more Irish than the Irish themselves. And so this is where you see after that, Britain in America and in Australia and New Zealand and onwards, learning from their mistakes in that sense and separating culturally the indigenous people with the settlers to keep the settlers loyal to the colonizing power there. So what you see is you see this kind of to and fro of the old Gaelic world pulling the new settlers into their way of life and integrating them, and the British trying to pull them towards London and towards staying loyal to the crown. So you find Ireland cut and caught in this to and fro between these two different worlds. And eventually, in 1914, as you mentioned, the British world loses out, sort of, because the catch is that the British still kept Northern Ireland, where the descendants of their settlers are still to this day remaining loyal to the crown. So which is why I say this is the beginning of 850 years of, in a sense, unbroken British rule on the island of Ireland. And just to add one last thing as well, I think this might be interesting for the listeners, like the legacy of the Norman settlers is that if you can tell, if you have a name that begins with Fitz, like Fitzgibbon or Fitzsimmons or Fitzpatrick, or you have a Irish surname that's descended from French, like Redmond or Lambert or Burke or Delaney or something like that, you're most likely traced back to those Norman settlers who came over 850 years ago to this day with the original British invasion and settled in Ireland. So yeah, there's a little bit of trivia there for you.
Since the Norman conquest, centuries of oppression followed as England continued to conquer and assimilate the Irish, such as the Acts of Union 1800 that annexed Ireland into the United Kingdom. Numerous wars, rebellions and tragedies followed, including two religious wars in the 17th century, the Great Famine of 1845 to 1849, and the much well-known events like the Easter Uprising in 1916 and later the Irish War of Independence from 1919 to 1921. Even though Ireland got home rule briefly in 1914, it was suspended at the outbreak of the First World War, and disagreement about the Dominion status in 1922 resulted in a civil war before the Irish Republic that we know was declared in 1949. Meanwhile, at the north of the border, religious tensions between Protestants and Catholics flared in the 1960s and resulted in the troubles that lasted for three decades before the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. But once again, issues related to Britain, aka leaving the European Union, have once put the future of the island into question.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.